Welcome to Learn Something New Every Day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday at 6:30 a.m. on 99.1 FM KGX and 9 a.m. on 92.3 FM KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast. It is really easy. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for Learn Something New, press subscribe. You'll get a new show each week, and this show, of course, is produced by my extremely dedicated team of student interns here in the Digital Arts Technology Academy, also known as DATA, at Cathedral City High School, under the direction of Mr. Bryce Johnson, and Marlene is on the board today. Thank you, ma'am, for everything that you do. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, all good? Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Thank you again. And I'm very pleased to welcome our guest for today, our District Middle and High School Teachers of the Year, Ms. Jessica Parent. She is from Cielo Vista Charter. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Ms. Anel Ayan, and she is our High School Teacher of the Year from Mount San Jacinto High School. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I'm honored.
Absolutely. And we're honored to have both of you here. And we had on a few weeks ago our elementary teacher of the year, Kenneth Paxton from Rio Vista Elementary, and his principal was our guest last week. And so turned out you ladies couldn't make it that day, but glad to have you here and didn't want to miss the opportunity to showcase our teachers of the year. It's a big honor and we're glad to do that. So, Jessica, how long have you been in Palm Springs Unified?
I have been with Palm Springs Unified for 14 years.
Wow.
Yes, I was a long-term sub, and then I finally finished all of my work, and I became an English teacher at Cathedral City High School.
Yeah, you were here at Cathedral City for how long?
Nine,
and then you went to Cielo Vista after it became a K-8?
Yes, so once it transitioned to a K-8 and they needed a single subject English teacher, I decided I would like to help build the middle school program over there, and that's what we've been doing, and it's growing, and it's getting better and stronger every year, and we're really excited.
How do you like the switch from high school to middle school?
Middle school is interesting all by itself anyway, and now you have TK through 8th grade, so there are some challenges, but it's really rewarding. It's nice to have the social emotional support from them being there since TK. I'm able to tap in some resources with their previous teachers. Knowing who their fifth grade teacher was helps me to better connect and understand the students. It's nice that the parents are already invested in the school.
Right.
So it's nice. It does have its challenges, but I really enjoy it, and I'm learning from them every single day.
Are you teaching sixth grade?
I teach eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Eighth grade English language arts. So I'm right in the middle. They're getting ready to, you know, they're at the end of that road and getting them ready and transitioning to high school.
You know, later on, we'll talk about what it's like to be a middle school student at a K-8 school, because it's got to be different.
Yes.
And plus, it's a charter school, but we'll get back to that. How do you feel about being chosen as your site and then the district teacher of the year?
I'm really humbled and really honored. There's so many amazing colleagues in our district, and the fact that they would choose me to represent them and to say that I'm teacher of the year for the district, it was amazing. I was shocked and honored and really excited.
And the selection committee is a pretty tough crowd.
Yes, they are. I know. They're the best of the best.
Well, yes. It used to be just the teachers from the previous year, and that committee still. So you guys will be soon working to choose the next ones.
Oh,
but
okay, good.
Then they added some heavy hitters to the group, you know, like our state teacher of the year, two state teachers of the year, and a runner-up to the state teacher of the year, and they're in the mix too. So
yes, I know.
Should be very honored. And Anel, how long have you been at Palm Springs Unified?
I came in 2011. I used to work at Desert Hot Springs High School, and I did that for about 2 years, and then I left the district for a while. And then I came back, and when I came back,
she got smart. Where'd you go?
I've always been working at College of the Desert.
Oh.
I've worked for the math department since college. And that's where I actually decided to go into teaching. But anyhow, I left the district for a while. And when I came back, because I had to come back with my teaching credential, I got stuck in life crisis. So when I came back, I got offered a job. There was an opening at Mount San Jacinto High School, which that's a continuation school. It's an alternative ed school here at our district. And I just couldn't believe it. It was like a blessing in disguise because that's me. I graduated from that continuation school. I'm class of 96. And I know the struggles that my kids go through. So for me to be able to come back to the district, and they offered me a job teaching their mathematics, I went in there like a lightning bolt, full of passion, ready to teach. And yeah, so I accepted the job there, and I've been there ever since then.
That's awesome. And how did you feel to be chosen as your site and then the district teacher of the year?
Like I said, when I come to my work, when I come to work, I teach from my heart. I teach with passion. So, I mean, I didn't see it coming. It's nothing that I was trying to. So when I got the news that I was chosen to be Teacher of the Year, I was shocked. I was honored. And then when they said district, I was like, oh my God, because I've worked, you know, at Desert Hot Springs High School. I love those kids out there. If I have to go back and teach at a regular, I'll go back to Desert Hot Springs. And as we already know, a lot of people, I mean, sadly to say, they speak bad about the community, but I would have to contradict. Those are my babies out there. And so when I got chosen to be District Teacher of the Year, I was shocked and like you said, Jessica, humbled and honored because, I mean, I just come and I teach and I give to my kids and my community from my heart because I know the struggles. Mm-hmm. That families go through, that these kids go through, because I lived it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, so who better?
Yes.
Right? And we'll get back to that in a minute, too, okay. Because I want to kind of dispel some of the myths around alternative education.
And, yes.
You know, well, we'll get back to that in a minute. But Jessica, so tell us what it's like to teach middle school at a K-8 and specifically at a K-8 charter.
Okay.
As opposed to the traditional middle school experience. What's different about it?
Let's see. Well, they're still wearing uniforms, so that's a struggle. They feel like they are not able to express themselves with their clothes. However, I feel like it eliminates a lot of what of the social problems that happen in middle schools that do not have uniforms. We do have, you know, they do get their free dress days. They do get their dances now. So we've been learning and growing. We've been learning what are their social emotional needs. And then we're putting things in place where they are able to have fun social time together where, you know, they're still getting that middle school experience, but maybe with less of the other stuff. A lot of restorative, you know, a lot of the times, honestly, they're ready to leave. They don't. They want to go to a regular, quote unquote, middle school. They feel like they're being forced to stay there. But then,
who's forcing them? Their parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then, towards the end, they appreciate it, and they're, you know, they're so happy. You know, that usually happens like in sixth grade when the decision is made. But then seventh grade it gets better, and then eighth grade they appreciate it and they realize like, wow, this was awesome, and the experience that they have. We always tell them, when you go to high school, there's only a few of you out there that have this connection, that have been together since kindergarten.
That's true.
You know, those memories, all of those things, they're all crying at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they fight. They're like brothers and sisters, you know. So there's a lot that goes on. And then you bring in the middle school social emotional component of it.
Is there a separate part of the campus that's for the middle school?
No, there isn't. We are all right there. We share the space. Okay. With the elementary kids.
And that's okay?
That's okay, you know.
And do the older kids bully the little kids?
No, they do not. Actually, I think it helps them, reminds them that they're role models. We're constantly reminding them, you know, that they need to be examples for the other kids. I think it helps with, like, the language, bad language, like not saying bad language in the passing periods and things like that. And I think they see their siblings there, too.
That's true.
So it kind of, you know, remind, you know, I'm like, how would you like it if your little sister was hearing that or seeing that? So, I mean, they have separate restrooms. We have separate lunches. We have separate events for them, separate assemblies. you know, and then there's times that we do bring them together for like larger things like Red Ribbon Week or Family Fun Night. So we do, you know, we do things separately and then we do things together to kind of bring them back to that. We are a family. We That's are a TK awesome. Through 8 family. Yes.
So what about extracurricular activities? Do they have the same options as they do in middle school? Like, do you have a band?
We or? Do. We okay. do have a middle school band. We have a middle school choir. We do have intramural sports. We have some clubs at
so
lunch.
So you have the basics.
Yeah, we have the basics, exactly. Of course, we always want more.
Yeah.
But it's,
so
you
does
know,
everyone.
We
though.
Need, yeah. You know, we could use more manpower. We could use more, yeah. you know, but we're doing, like I said, every year we're learning what are their needs, what do they want from us. What do they want from their experience here? And we try to pull our resources together and do what
now,
we can for
them. Now,
you
have kids, right?
Yes,
and
I do.
Do you have kids at that mm-hmm. school?
I have a fourth grader and a first grader.
And they're both at CV?
They're both at CV.
They yep. like it?
Yeah, they love it. They're really happy. Very happy there. Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And Anel, so let's talk a little bit about the Mount San Jacinto experience. And who is there a typical student that goes to MSJ, or what are some of the reasons? They're not all flunking out of school, because that's the
yeah, that's the people like to, and like I said, I could relate to where these kids are coming from, because I remember when I would tell my friends or family that I went to MSJ, they would say, oh, that's the school where all the troublemakers go, yeah, or all the drug right. addicts go, and it still has that
stigma
yeah. exactly. But no, you know, I tell my kids that no, that's not true. You got to prove them that we're smart, we are educated, we just learn different, you know. Look mm-hmm. at me, I graduated from here, have my degree in math. Doesn't mean that I was dumb, doesn't mean you guys are dumb, you know. We just all learn different, and that's our logo, an alternative path to success.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And some of the kids are, well, probably the majority of the kids are credit deficient, but there's so many different reasons.
Everybody has their story why.
Exactly.
Some kids got sick. Mm-hmm. They missed school. Some kids had mental depression or problems they were going through.
Some kids are helping their parents pay the rent.
Exactly. And then some other kids, who doesn't make mistakes? You know, when mm-hmm. we were teenagers, let's think back. Mm-hmm. We all made our mistakes. But I tell my kids, you know, you just got to bounce back up and learn from them. And the unique thing about our school, once they get there, they're sad, they're scared. But once they see all the love that they have from the faculty, the principal, the staff ladies in the office, the cafe, everybody, they see that we know their name. Not at a traditional high school where there's 2,000 kids. Mm-hmm. And not everybody knows their name. So at our school at MSJ, we try to be like a little family, and our classrooms are so small. We have mm-hmm. about 15 kids. But then again, you know, that one kid, he's equivalent to like 4 kids.
Yes.
And, you know, as an educator, I mean, you have to have the patience and the heart, you know, to be able to, you know, to teach and inspire and motivate and reach out to these kids. And the faculty that we have there, you know, I mean, everybody has their own gift, you know and we bring into the table.
Right. And, you know, there are very few kids that I've come across. I've been with the district for 19 years who choose to go to MSJ as their first choice. They are usually sent there. They're referred there because of whatever has happened
exactly.
that has caused them to need a different program. And the majority of them choose not to go back to their home high schools
when they
catch up. Because either they graduate early, some of them graduate early because mm-hmm. they catch up and then they just full speed ahead and they're able to graduate early. But even the ones who are going to graduate on time, many of them choose to stay.
And that's what happened. I've had some students that they come to me crying, Miss Ayon, could you please talk to my mom? My mom doesn't want me to graduate from here. And I'm scared to go back to my home school because I'm scared, you know. Yeah. They get this phobia, they get anxiety being around so many kids, a big classroom. And but the parents, because the comadre, mm-hmm. the neighbor, oh, what is my comadre going to say? You know, that's where all the burros go. That's the stigma that we have, mm-hmm. you know, and they want to put on this show, you know, and what I try to do, I try to always communicate with the parents and say, hey, you know what? This is a high school diploma, mm-hmm. Palm Springs Unified School District high school diploma.
And same requirements as exactly. any other student. Yes. You still have to take the test. You still have to pass yes. all the classes, and you have to take the same requirements in terms of course load and
the graduation credits, everything, you know?
Everything's the same. It's just a different setting.
That is exactly.
And maybe they're not in school for the full 6 hours a day. They might be in school for 4 hours a day and they have a job. And so their schedules are a little different. And
we have programs also, you know, right now we have the HVAC program. Cool. Yes. And we have some counselors there that are like going out and doing reaching out to like electricians, like bigger companies, and they're going through workshops, taking the kids out there so they could see. Mm. And these kids that are in the HVAC program, they're actually getting college credits. Oh my God. So they're juniors, seniors, and they're already getting college credits. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to get certified.
Exactly, and be able to have a job right away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah, it's a great program going on over there. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Learn Something New Every Day on KGX and KWXY, and my guests are our stellar District Teachers of the Year at middle and high school, Jessica Parent from Sierra Vista Charter and Anel Ayon from Mount San Jacinto High. I tried to put the little Spanish accent in.
You did
what very well.
You did
now,
great. You did
I'm
great.
Ashamed to good. Say, and now, that I was a Spanish minor in college. But,
right.
you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. And and plus I had, you know, teachers in high school and even college that didn't force us to speak. So, you know, I think.
And now you're in a Latino community.
Well, that's the reason. I said if I'm from New York, if I work on either coast, this is going to help me to be bilingual. I'm not even close to being bilingual. I can understand relatively well, and I can speak enough to get by in Mexico, you know, just to be able to ask directions or ask yeah. Read a menu and stuff like that. But it's awful, and I don't have the accent, you know, I'm just a gringo. And anyway, but I digressed again. So you ladies, obviously we have how many teachers do we have? 1200, something like that.
Wow.
I think yeah. So obviously
1200 teachers.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's definitely over 1,000.
Wow.
Right? 11, 1,200. I'm thinking it's close to 1,200 now. So for you ladies to have been selected as Teachers of the Year out of all these teachers, and there's more secondary than elementary, you have to be something pretty special. So Jessica, what is your what would you say is your philosophy of teaching, and why did you choose this profession?
Goodness. Well, I chose this profession when I was 6 years old. My first grade teacher, I still remember her, Mrs. Oglesby, and I think she came in.
Sarita?
Yes.
Yes, I remember
yes,
her.
Yes.
All right, she's great.
I think she came in like a Nell with all the love and passion yeah. every day. And I never saw her upset with us.
So you're a homegrown girl.
Yes, I am.
You also?
Yeah, I was raised in the Coachella
Valley. Oh, my life. Yes, very cool. I didn't ask you that. We love that. We
yes,
love that.
We
Many
did.
Of our graduates come back and teach her. It's
yes.
the best. Okay, go on.
So, you know, she was just always really happy. And I was like, gosh, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. I want to be like her, you know. And so then ever since then, I just would watch my teachers. And it was a calling. I just really wanted to be with kids. I thought I wanted to teach elementary. And then when I started my credential program, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if this is really where I want to be. But then I heard they needed a long-term sub at Cathedral City High School. And this is where I graduated from. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to go there. I want to try it out there. And so I started teaching English, sophomore English here. And I just loved it. I fell in love with the kids. My philosophy would be just to connect with them. And like I grew up in Cathedral City. So I also know their struggles and their needs and where their families come from.
Did you go to school with Eddie and Ruby?
I sure did. I'm older than them though. Yeah, I'm older than them.
Not much. A lot?
No. Well, I was a senior. Eddie was a freshman.
Oh, okay.
And then Ruby was like somewhere in the middle. I don't know. But yeah, so I just feel like I knew where, like, their families, where they work, mm-hmm. and kind of how, you know, and the cultural piece too, what were our priorities, what were not our priorities, or what were people scared of. You know, my parents were scared for me to go away to college, and so working with parents and families and counselors to, you know, share with them what fears they should, you know, don't be scared. Your kid's going to be great.
And so what would you say is your philosophy of teaching?
I don't know. Philosophy would be connect with kids, build relationships, and help them discover their own potential to be a leader in their own life.
Love it. And how about you, Anil? Like, why did you choose teaching? What's your philosophy?
Okay, well, I grew up here in the Coachella Valley all my life, out there in Indio and Coachella. And I never, ever dreamed of becoming a teacher. I got kicked out of middle school.
Wow.
I never promoted middle school. Went to high school and I couldn't function. I couldn't handle all the crowds, all the people, the teachers' expectations. Ended up getting kicked out of high school. So my mom moved me out of Coachella. We moved to Desert Hot Springs. So when I moved out here, I ended up at the continuation school because none of the schools here wanted me. I didn't have no credits. So I barely made it. And it was our old principal, Doc.
Yeah.
Doc, oh my God, I love that guy.
Savarese?
Savarese. He was our principal at back then we used to call it C-School, which is MSJ.
I remember that, yeah.
And he saw something in me. He believed in me, gave me so many chances, and I made it. I ended up graduating. So when I went to college, I've always liked numbers. But there was this professor at CLD. Her name is Karen Dostal. To this day, I still keep in touch with her and her husband. Mm. They made me fall in love with math. And I started from ground zero. I didn't know algebra, nothing. And through my struggles, I learned so much. And all the holes and gaps that I had in my brain, I had a, you know, I saw where the struggle was. So I ended up getting a job at the tutoring center. And when I went out to college, to Cal State San Bernardino, I said, you know what? I like math. I think I'm going to major in math. So I ended up majoring in math, and I was still working as a math tutor at CLD. Graduated, and then I got offered my first job teaching at Bobby Duke Middle School, the same middle school that I got kicked out of.
Ironic.
Wow.
And they gave me the job in January because the lady that was teaching math couldn't handle the kids.
Yeah.
And it was the worst of the worst kids. I mean, this classroom, all the kids were gang related. Mm. And I grew up out there. Yes. So just making those connections, mm-hmm. and I came in with passion, ready to teach math. And I just fell in love with teaching. I said, you know what? I think this is my calling right here. So then I came here to DHS High School and saw the same kids, but in different area. Coachella is more of the field migrant workers.
Right.
DHS is more third generation. And but the poverty is still there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, that's what I knew. That's what I grew up, you know, in the struggle. I was on welfare. Got food stamps. So I knew when the kids got food stamps, they would get excited. And I knew I could relate to them. So when I go in there and I teach math, and math is one of those subjects that nobody likes.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go in, you need to be my student. I usually like to teach and relate it to their cultural background. So those word problems, I make them come to life, and we just have a good time. And
that's awesome. I want to be in your math class.
Yeah. So now at the
I hate math so much that I don't want to be in her math class, but I'd like to observe.
We had fun. Even the kids who are like the worst. Like yesterday, I took them to go do some trick problems. We were measuring things outside, and the kid, he said, "I've never done math with my eyes because I had a measuring with the straw to do the angles of elevation." So, I mean,
it's all about engagement, right?
It's all about those connections that you make with the kids. You know, I'm a strong believer of it's not how much you know until they know how much you care. Mm-hmm. And when you're teaching, when you're connecting the curriculum to their cultural background, it's on. Yeah. It's on. You got them already engaged.
Interesting. And I'm very happy that both of you brought up relationships as how important it is. And that's our very superintendent's theme this year, Relationships Matter. And I think it will be the theme every year because of how important it is.
Yeah.
Because if you don't connect with a kid.
And that's what I love about our superintendent. I see the way she communicates with the families, like the parents. Mm-hmm. And with she's really everywhere. Cares. She cares. Yes, she and I think that's so awesome because it's bringing it to us teachers and then we're bringing it to our kids, our students.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's making our school district more united. And yes, I want to see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges you guys face as teachers? Jessica?
Resources, I guess.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. Like, resources.
You know, more field trip money. More, you know, it's like those things that you know, we just do what we can.
I'm trying to get some rocket launchers to do parabolas. Trying to do some more after school tutoring.
I don't even know what that is.
Those rocket launchers.
No, the rocket thing.
Oh, I know.
Parabola. What the heck is that?
The U-shape. The U-shape when you shoot
whatever.
A basketball. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Parabola.
Yeah.
I have to look that up.
I know, I know we are very fortunate. I mean, we do work with a great district that, you know, does provide a lot of resources. But, of course,
as much
you
as
always
we can.
But, you know, of course, we always want more. I want more field trips.
That's what we have our foundation for, you know, to try to bridge some of those gaps.
There you go.
So, before we run out of time, where do you guys see yourselves in 10 years? Like, you want to go into administration or you want to be still teaching?
I want to be the next doc.
Oh.
The next doc.
So
Savage.
You are you going right. for your administrative credential?
Yes, currently I'm enrolled in the admin program.
Awesome.
And
you will be an excellent administrator.
Yes, you would.
Thank you. Yeah, I just, like I said, I love alternative ed and
That's even better. So
she's focused.
Very focused. Yes. You want to be an alt ed principal.
Yes.
Very that's cool. Exciting. How about you?
I just finished my master's in administration.
Oh my God, congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Yeah, awesome. It was a tough road. But I learned a lot. I gained a lot of experience. And I don't know. I'm not as focused as you, Anil.
there's a lot of where the opportunities come up.
Exactly.
And you explore them. And
yeah, explore them.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And the final question is, how do you ladies want to be remembered at the end of your career?
I want to be remembered that I've always been humble and down to earth and real.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah,
that's a given. I feel that I really didn't know you either one of you very well, and I already feel that. So, no worries. And your daughter's sitting here, and she's beaming and smiling, so she knows it too.
Yeah.
And how about you, Jessica?
I want to be remembered as somebody that loved all of her students, every single one, even my little tough one, and that I was really passionate about education and that I believe that every student could achieve.
Yes.
And that's important, right? I mean, I'm sure as teachers of the year, you really do believe that
Definitely.
Every student can learn. Because unfortunately, there are some teachers that really don't believe that. And I've heard them. And
in my school?
It's like, hey, I just want to smack them across the head.
No,
like, why are you teaching?
Is great.
Because they may need something different. They may need a different program. They may need to be in a different setting, but all children can learn.
Oh,
definitely.
Wow.
And my school,
if you give
even
them what
though
they need.
We're alternative ed, some of them could do the SATs, but I tell my kids, yeah, why not? Go for it.
Exactly.
Everybody.
Ladies, you're awesome. Thank you for everything that you do, and congratulations. Next week, my guest will be our monthly co-host, our arts coordinator, Barbara Englund. She will be bringing the president and founder of the Steinway Society of Riverside County, Ruth Moore. Our show airs each Sunday on KGX and KWXY. Please upload and subscribe to our podcast by going to iTunes. And look for you learn something new every day. Please tell your friends to do the same. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Marlene. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.